Welcome into The Drive. Thank you. It is silly season in full effect in the NBA, and we are all over it with Scott Howard Cooper at the bottom of the hour, Garrett Temple at 8:05. Stories we are following today. Your comments, welcome at 339-1140, 1-800-912-1140. You can always text us at 44-1140. Phil Jackson is gone. He has been fired by James Dolan and the New York Knicks. The Knicks are now bringing in Tim Lewicki, former Toronto executive, to advise and perhaps bridge a gap, as reported, for Jim Dolan to go after Masai Ujiri of the Toronto Raptors. So that's New York. The Sacramento Kings, according to Sportando, which is a European website, quoting a Serbian website. But we can also back that up with the idea that that's exactly what we're hearing here. Bogdan Bogdanovic will be coming over to the Sacramento Kings. Now, I'm not sure. I'm not going to speak on the numbers or the contract, although Sportando is reporting he's going to sign a 3-year, $30 million deal with the Kings. I won't vouch for that. I am comfortable vouching that that deal will be consummated sometime probably in the next week. So Bogdan coming over to the Kings looks like that is a done deal. Also, there's a lot of stuff going on here.
So much.
The Celtics are, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, trying to work out a deal to where they can sign as a free agent Gordon Hayward and then make a trade after shedding assets and salary, make a trade for Paul George. Houston is making a move for Chris Paul. And according to reports, Daryl Morey is aggressively trying to shed assets. One of the teams Mark Stein reported could fit into that are your Sacramento Kings, who could be a home for Ryan Anderson. You'll remember the Kings tried to sign Ryan Anderson before he went to Houston. He obviously chose the Rockets. That's a fairly large deal.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of stuff going on right now. Let's go ahead and start, because we haven't really got into this. Chris Paul in Houston joining James Harden, if that were to happen, which is far from happening, if that were to happen, Katie, that's an interesting fit.
It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me for multiple reasons. Really, a lot of their success this year was moving James Harden over to the point guard. And not to say that moving him back to the two guard is going to change anything, except for the fact that they have to give up quite a bit in order to make room for him. And defensively, I mean, I don't know if that's intriguing to Chris Paul at all, because he is a great defender.
He's a great defender.
And you know that the Houston Rockets ain't about that. Does that matter at all? But giving up Ryan Anderson, for them to be successful in Mike D'Antoni's system, it is that three-point shooting. It is those weapons. Patrick Beverley is another person, a tremendous defender that they have on that team that has made a big difference for them, that he's an asset that they would have to give up. Lou Williams is another. You know, so to give up and clear room to be able to sign Chris Paul, what they would have to give up, my question is, how do you fill that and still remain competitive to the degree that you want to? And Daryl Morey has said multiple times, because of Golden State and what they've done and the roster that they've compiled, that he's going to make some risky moves. And that's what a lot of teams have to do. But I just don't know that Chris Paul fits there. And I don't know if he's going to want to take basically a $50, $55 million pay cut and leave the Clippers to go anywhere. There's so many questions surrounding this.
Houston doesn't have a crazy salary situation. Houston actually is 23rd in the league. And their big numbers, obviously James Harden's not going anywhere. That's the biggest chunk of 27, you know, goes to $28 million next year. Eric Gordon, he's not going anywhere either. He's at $13 million. And then you're getting down to $7 million, $5 million, $7 million. So Ryan Anderson's the guy they got to move. And he still has 3 years on his deal, 19.5, 20.5, and just over $21 million. So that is rough numbers, about $60 million remaining on his deal. If you're the Sacramento Kings and you're going to help Daryl Morey out, then you're clearing out his asset bank. So you're looking at a deal where you're bringing over Ryan Anderson, but you're also bringing over a first rounder mm-hmm. and a guy like Sam Decker. That might get it done for me if I'm Vlade Divac and company. Huh. You're going to get a young guy, somebody. You know, Montrezl Harrell doesn't make enough, but that would be the type of piece. Maybe a Clint Capela, but I really see
they can't get rid of Clint Capela because he's so important to them, and they don't have Nene under contract next year.
I got you. Well, Nene only makes three. Yeah, exactly.
I know, but
Absolutely.
Position wise, that if they give up Clint Capela,
Lou Williams would make no sense for the Kings. I mean, Decker's the guy I would focus in on, along with some picks and Ryan.
Who the hell is Sam Decker?
He's a basketball player.
I know.
But you're gonna need Houston to make it very, very sweet for you to bring over Ryan Anderson. And now you have the other problem, which is you're putting Ryan Anderson into.
I know who he is.
You're putting Ryan Anderson into a situation where. Hold on. Who is Sam Decker? This has nothing to do with anything, but it just popped in my head.
Out of Wisconsin.
I think Sam Decker. So stupid. I think Sam Decker just got engaged to Kevin Harlan's daughter. I think I'm right about that. I don't know why I know that. I know it. Move on. That shouldn't make any difference to Vlade as to whether or not Sam Decker comes over. You're going to need that type of situation, but now you have a situation where you'd have Ryan Anderson. And let's be honest, Ryan Anderson could be a very nice addition to this team. Big guy, three-point shooting. There's a reason they wanted to sign him a year ago.
I wonder if he's someone that you could actually play in that three spot.
At 6'11"?
I'm just saying. You talk about developing young guys, the ability to play, and you just drafted Harry Giles, forward.
You've got
Scallon in that position. Like, does Ryan Ant, could he potentially, and it all comes down to defense. Offense, you can do anything. You could put up five freaking centers out there in the NBA today.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. It doesn't affect that side, but Dave Yeager is such a defensive-minded coach. It's not like, this is something like, you could see Mike D'Antoni doing it. It doesn't matter because he goes such small ball. You could absolutely, you know, put Ryan anywhere between the three and the five. But so this is where it gets interesting in terms of how the Kings approach free agency.
Well, if they threw Trevor Ariza in, by the way.
So that's the thing. He's got 1 year left on his deal.
Yeah. That might be interesting.
Yes.
Maybe if you went Ariza, Decker, Anderson in a first.
But I don't know that they're willing to give up that piece.
They may not be. They may not be.
Seriously, with Daryl Morey saying that he's willing to risk things,
yeah,
that would be a risky move for him.
It's just what we're talking about. The Kings are in a situation where you've got some desperate GMs mm-hmm. that need help, and Sacramento can help these people out. This is a part of a rebuild. You have mm-hmm. Boston, according to Adrian Wojnarowski and The Vertical, looking to sign Gordon Hayward, trade for Paul George after the fact. They're going to have to shed some salary. Looks like Kelly Olynyk might be the odd man out. That's another team. Cleveland, another team.
Gosh, what are they going to do? Like, seriously. And it all goes back to this thing. Paul George is being mentioned in multiple teams. Cleveland, Boston,
yep.
Washington.
Yep.
They want to make a run at him. But it all comes back to, are you willing to take a gamble on what most likely will be a 1 year rental?
With Cleveland? You want to know
Cleveland, yes.
Yeah.
Why would Boston do that?
Oh,
why in
Paul
the
George.
Hell would Boston do that?
They want to make a run. They want to make it. Now, Gordon Hayward obviously isn't.
Yeah, he's not a gamble.
He's not a gamble.
Coached by Brad Stevens in college. Like, I can very, very legitimately see. I would be shocked if he didn't end up in Boston this year.
I'll tell you what's going on with Cleveland. Dwayne Wade and Carmelo Anthony are both going to get bought out.
Yep.
They're both going to get bought out, and they're going to sign for like $2 million with Cleveland.
I highly doubt that.
I'm telling you. They don't have anything else to give them. So they decide to all get together, Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James, the best of
and
friends.
And LeBron James can't ever say again that he's never been a part of
and
a super team.
Well, that becomes an interesting
Craziness.
Question. If Dwayne Wade and Carmelo Anthony went to Cleveland and went out there with Kyrie Irving and LeBron James.
Carmelo Anthony is a talented player that will never win a title.
That's what I'm asking. Well, he won a title with Syracuse.
An NBA title.
Whatever. We'll take a break. When we get back, three for madness. We'll ask about Phil Jackson and his legacy. And we talked a lot about Kings free agency, but A lot of other teams going in there as well. Scott Howard Cooper at 735. A lot to get to here. Stay tuned on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.
Guys, is Phil Jackson done in basketball?
Oh, gosh. This is so hard. The natural thought is that he's going to go. I think he is. I think he is, except for, like, special advisor to whoever. I think he's done as a coach, and I think he's done as a GM. He's, what, 71 years old? He's got more money than God, and who's going to hire him as an executive after what happened in New York? I
don't understand why you're on the fence with this. He absolutely 100% is done in basketball.
I'm just saying.
And you know what? He should be. He never should have taken that job with the Knicks, ever. He was not equipped to do it. I don't know what happened. This is like a grumpy old man get off my lawn thing, right? Like, he was a phenomenal coach. The way that he managed personalities and got everyone on the same page, he was the complete opposite in New York. I don't know if it was ego. I don't know if it's just aging and being a grumpy old man. Like, he is the, like, full-on grumpy cat version of Phil Jackson now. What the hell happened to him?
I think he took the job because he played for the Knicks. He wanted to.
I think he took the job because of the paycheck.
Well, I was going to say, and he
Good
got
Lord.
Paid a ton of money. Ton of money, had a chance to go back to New York, make them relevant, thought he could do it, and he couldn't. So the reason why I hedged is done in basketball, no. I think he'll be somebody's special advisor, probably in L.A. at some point. I don't think he'll ever be a coach, and I don't think he'll ever be a GM or a team president ever again.
Done.
Number two.
If the Celtics signed Gordon Hayward and Paul George, would they eclipse the Cavaliers?
That's a tough question, just because we have no idea what the Cavaliers are going to do during the offseason in terms of free agency. They don't have a lot of leeway in terms of salaries and the salary cap, but right now they're the highest paid team in basketball and are so far over the cap. They're deep, deep into the luxury tax.
Let me ask you this. If, let's say, best case scenario for the Cavs, if Hayward and PG-13 go to Boston, best case would be probably Dwayne Wade and Carmelo Anthony on buyouts. I can't think of a better case for them.
I still think that Boston would be better than the Cavs in that situation. If that's how it worked out for both Cleveland and Boston, I think Boston, and again, this all comes down, my God, to health. I think Brad Stevens is a way better coach than Tyronn Lue.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I think that Boston would have the superior roster in this situation. But man, any team with LeBron James on it just sucks to make these decisions.
That's the only caveat.
It sucks.
The only asterisk is that Cavs would have LeBron James. I'm going to say the Celtics would pass Cleveland because there is one certainty in sports. There is one person in the history of sports that's undefeated other than Floyd Mayweather Jr.
And It's Father Time.
At some point, it's got to catch up. At some point, a guy who's been playing out of high school.
We've been saying that about the Spurs forever.
I get it, but at least they've kind of reloaded a little bit. You saw it, you know, this year. I would say if the Celtics are trotting out Isaiah Thomas, Paul George, Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum, Avery Bradley and company, you're telling me the Eastern Conference champions add Hayward and Paul George. I have to put them in the NBA
regular
finals.
Regular season champs.
Yes.
Just because you know the text line's going to go berserk
blah,
with
blah,
that.
Blah. I would have to put them in. Then the pick would be Warriors and Celtics, and man, would that be interesting. Number three.
Other than the Kings, what team intrigues you the most in free agency?
Probably the Clippers.
Damn you.
Probably the Clippers. The Clippers are just, you got Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, Jerry West just came in there. We've talked about the Knicks. We've talked about Cleveland. We've talked about Boston, and some of that would involve trades. When it comes to just straight free agency, I think the Clippers are the sleeping giant. Jerry's going to want to come in and put his stamp on them. And they've got three huge pieces they could move. Oh, and J.J. Redick, I'm sorry.
Yes. So they're interesting to me because of the fact that you've got Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, and J.J. Redick, all free agents right now. It looks like J.J. Redick likely will be the one to leave for sure. You still don't know what the hell is going to – many teams are targeting Blake Griffin. And I feel like they've had a phenomenal roster. Even DeAndre Jordan's name was mentioned in some moves recently.
Yes.
So you've got a roster that is so good and has done so little. You have to make some changes there.
Saw an article yesterday.
That ain't it.
Saying that the Clippers have done, maybe it was the one you sent
me. I sent it to you.
The Clippers have done the least with
the
most.
And it's so true. And now there's some weird stuff involved in that
in
terms of what happened with Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
And him with the injuries and then punching his, you know, one of the guys that worked for the team and missing time with a broken hand and like suspensions, all this stuff. There is some stuff in there. But still, you have to admit, and their salary too is insane. And Dave, they have those big four, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you count J.J. Redick,
sure.
DeAndre,
sure.
And Blake and Chris. Who else do they have? Name me another player on that roster.
Austin Rivers.
Okay, well, Austin, but that's he's daddy's boy.
I think he's actually turned into a pretty decent player.
He has, but he's not. He's a good piece.
I also think, and Jamal Crawford's still on that team.
Is he a free agent this year?
I think Jamal's
a free agent.
I'm trying to look at their salaries right now. I do think they've done the least with the most. I 100% do. They're going to be a very interesting team.
They have to make some moves or else.
I'm really pissed this season's
not here
yet.
You know who's going to be looking for a job?
I'm so freaking stoked for this next season.
Doc Rivers.
Somebody say on the text line, Minnesota's going to be a contender this year. I don't know if they're going to be a contender, Brian, but I do think they very, very likely will make the playoffs. I think they very likely will make the playoffs.
That might be a stretch. Well, and it depends on what Denver does. Denver was way closer to the playoffs than Minnesota.
Yeah, but I think Minnesota has twice the talent Denver does. And now they added Jimmy Butler. I think Jimmy Butler's the key right there. Tom Thibodeau in his second year.
You know, it's so crazy. That's such a young team, and there's so many reports kind of and things being mentioned about Jimmy Butler being a horrible locker room guy, and you have that whole situation that went down in Chicago this year, and it's like, okay, so you're going to take a quote-unquote bad locker room guy into a young team?
I mean, I'll say
this. See how that works.
He was a bad locker room guy perhaps last year, but Tom Thibodeau knows all about Jimmy Butler, and he wanted the move to get made. Tom Thibodeau is the guy who brought up Jimmy Butler. So that gives me a little bit of confidence if I'm a T-Wolves fan. Jamal Crawford signed for two more years. I have it now in front of me.
It's two more. Okay.
Austin Rivers a year plus a player option the following year as well. And then, of course, you mentioned those big four, if you count J.J. Redick in there. Wesley Johnson, Paul Pierce is gone. Luka Bamute is on a player option.
No.
And then they got a lot of a lot of bleh.
Gosh, and when you think about it, because Jamal Crawford is like my favorite player in the NBA.
Is he really?
Oh, I love him. I've loved him for so long.
Well, more on that later. Scott Howard Cooper joins
but
us next.
But not in like a meow way. Like
meow, Jamal Crawford. Hey,
yeah.
No. Scott Howard Cooper will try to make sense of all this. We got Bogdan Bogdanovic breaking news there. We got Chris Paul in Houston, perhaps. Boston making moves. Phil Jackson leaving New York. Man, there's a lot to get to.
Bye-bye now.
Well, hopefully Scoop can help us out. 3 minutes away on the drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. Garrett Temple at 8:05, 30 minutes from now. Scott Howard Cooper in just moments to talk free agency. Phil Jackson and more. Sean Salisbury will join us at 8:05 tomorrow. And then, hey, just so you know, I'm out after tomorrow's show. I'll be back the following Thursday. It'll be Katie and Friends. That's actually what we're changing the name of the show to. Katie and Friends. There's a 4th of July break, couple of holidays in there, but we always appreciate you listening as it starts to get in the silly season and all the free agency stuff, and you got to think that on one
so crazy
one way or the other, the Kings are going to be heavily involved. I don't know if that's signing free agents. I don't know if that's trading for cat. I don't know how that's going to be. That's kind of what remains to be seen. In something
they have a lot of cap space, which makes them have a ton of options.
Celtics are looking to add both Gordon Hayward and Paul George. And that's not like, you know, I think a lot of teams are looking to add both of them, but it sounds like the Celtics very well could pull that off. I think the logic there is Gordon Hayward goes back to college with Brad Stevens. They have that relationship there. And Paul George, it's a one-year rental. They know that they have the assets to make that worth it for the Indiana Pacers. Phil Jackson is gone, fired by James Dolan and the New York Knicks. And Bogdan Bogdanovic, according to Sportando, in Europe, and we'll go ahead and back this up. Again, we're not backing up the contract. It may very well be true. They're reporting 3 years, $30 million. But from everything we're hearing, and we have been hearing for the last few days, the Bogdanović deal is pretty much signed, sealed, and maybe not signed, sealed, and he'll be joining the Kings next season. He used to write for the Sacramento Bee, and that's how we got to know him. He is now the NBA.com NBA writer and our good friend, Mr. Scott Howard Cooper. Scott, it's Dave and Katie. How are you? Scotty, you there?
I'm here.
There you go.
There
sorry.
You go.
How are you, Scott?
I am great. How are you guys?
Now that was our fault, but if you were catching your breath, we wouldn't blame you. You call it silly season. As we were saying, now with New York rudderless, Cleveland rudderless, Daryl Morey trying to make moves, Danny Ainge trying to make moves, there's a lot of craziness going on in the NBA right now.
And it's going to get a lot crazier. We haven't even gotten to July 1st yet.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, this has started already. It began really in the weeks before the draft, and I think it's only going to continue. There's a tremendous amount at stake, not only for certain players, but certain franchises, that when you look at what a tipping point a guy like Gordon Hayward can be, if he stays with the Jazz or leaves, is a huge deal. And that's what becomes a Paul George. Where does he end up? I think that we are only at the beginning of what could be a monumental offseason.
Scott, you mentioned Gordon Hayward, and he's obviously a target for Boston. And you've got that relationship there between him and Brad Stevens. I've kind of been on the side where there's no question in my mind he ends up in Boston. But where would you put the likelihood of that right now?
I would say likely that he stays in Utah.
Really?
But I can certainly see your point. So I would say likely is probably as far as I'd go, far from definite. That he stays. It's not like a lot of other situations. It's not like Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, where guys are going to be free agents, but their teams are not sweating at all because it's obviously those guys are going back. It's not obvious that Gordon Hayward is going back, and I think that there's a lot of reasons to see the appeal to going to the Celtics. First and foremost, as you mentioned, the relationship with his college coach. And there's a lot of reasons to see him wanting to stay in Salt Lake City in the Jazz and a rising organization. I think that that's going to be a real, real interesting outcome.
New York City, one of the flagship franchises of the NBA, the New York Knicks, are absolutely rudderless. Phil Jackson walks away with about $24 million. Sounds like they're bringing in Tim Lewicki as an advisor, maybe to bridge a gap to Masai Ujiri of Toronto. Scott, how, if any way, do you think that might affect A, Kristaps Porzingis, and B, Carmelo Anthony?
Well, I think, first of all, you're being rudderless is probably the diplomatic term. to call the Knicks rudderless, that means you're just trying to keep the station's FCC license.
So true.
I think whoever shows up, the first business is to pick up the phone, or if he's in town, to walk down the street and sit down with Kristaps Porzingis and say, you know, all this stuff you've heard the last couple months, forget it. Never mind. It's done. You're not going anywhere. You're our guy. You're the foundation of the future. Shouldn't have happened, and from this day forward, I don't think you're going to have to worry about hearing anything about that. That's the first thing you do. You resolve the Porzingis issue and say, that was just Phil being Phil, and a guy who openly, as a coach and as an executive, not only was able to deal with conflict, but searched it out. And so you put that to rest with Porzingis. But I don't think it changes anything with Carmelo, and that is you still have to say, look, you're better off somewhere else, and we're better off with you somewhere else, hopefully by trade, but if it takes some kind of buyout, what kind of number can we come to? Both sides need to move on with that.
Well, and we talked about the Knicks, obviously, in terms of Phil Jackson leaving, and you know, they've got a target in mind from coming out of Toronto. But you look at Cleveland, and we really haven't heard anything, Scott, in terms of an update on it. We know that they sat down with Chauncey Billups and offered him the president's role. And there's the question of, okay, he has the ability to bring in his own general manager. Is there anybody that is kind of on the radar for who could be targeted as a general manager for the Cavs?
I think that anybody who's unemployed, would be interested in that job.
But no big names, right?
It's still very attractive. You're the best team in the Eastern Conference, and while there's obviously a lot of conversation percolating about LeBron and his future, you still have LeBron James on your team, and it's still his hometown, and it's still a lot to work with. So people are going to be interested in that job, but I think that there's certainly some wariness out there because for all their success, that's kind of a messed up situation as well in the front office that they go through a lot of coaches, a lot of executives, and there's no reason in the world. Well, I shouldn't say there's no reason. Obviously, there's going to be internal conflicts, but you do everything you can to keep a guy like David Griffin. He's really good, tremendously smart, did a lot of good work there, and a lot of it comes back to the owner. And just when you have the constant turnover, that's not a coincidence. There's a pattern there for a reason. And I would also toss this out that, again, as you said, there's obviously some Masai Ujiri conversation with the Knicks. I think David Griffin would be a logical endpoint for the Knicks as well. If he doesn't end up somewhere this year, it's only because of lack of job opportunities. The fact that a lot of the openings were filled before he and the Cavaliers broke up. But this is a guy that's going to be hired somewhere, and he's going to do a good job.
Scott Howard Cooper with us. So Boston now, Danny Ainge reportedly trying to stagger the signings and tradings of Gordon Hayward and Paul George. We know he has the assets. I know you addressed Gordon Hayward earlier. We know he has a connection, Gordon does, with the Celtics head coach. Is this another one of Danny's, I'm in the news, I'm going to make some crazy move, and then it's never going to happen? Or do you think there's fire where the smoke is?
In terms of pulling off both?
In terms of, you know, at this point, I'd settle for one. I mean, honestly, one of them happening.
Well, Gordon Hayward is definitely not a crazy. That's realistic. That's definitely possible. And if they get Gordon Hayward without giving up an asset, that's a huge acquisition. And then they still have a lot of different trade chips. Remember, they used the number 3 pick in the draft 1 year ago on a small forward. They used the number 3 pick in the draft last week on a small forward. And so, and then they also have future draft picks coming. And so if they go out and sign a small forward, Gordon Hayward obviously would jump over Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And the Celtics then would be back in the same place, which is they got the million different trade possibilities. So, no, I don't think it's Danny Ainge craziness. I think that this is a team that the reason that they're in the news so much is because they have the ability to be in the news, that they have these chips that a lot of other people want.
Scott Howard Cooper joining us this morning on The Drive. I want to transition a little bit to some of the free agency possibilities. You've got Chris Paul, whose name has very much been in the news for a while. We were hearing that he would entertain the idea of going to San Antonio, but now Houston has entered the picture, which means that, you know, Ryan Anderson to Sacramento could be a possibility because they'd have to make some moves financially there. But is there any possibility in your mind that Chris Paul would make a move and leave $50, $55 million on the table and leave the Clippers?
I think there is. That's a big number that you mentioned, but Chris is a sharp guy. He's a very practical guy, and when we talk about numbers, that's the ultimate in practical.
Yeah.
His mindset could also be, look at what I've made so far, and hopefully he's able to say, look at how much I've got in the bank, and I've already got on my side. And in the ultimate bottom line, I'm not exactly going to the poorhouse with this so-called lesser contract I would be taking. It still is not only financial security for me and my kids, but it's probably financial security for my great-grandkids, certainly my grandchildren. So it's not like he'd be going to the poorhouse to sign somewhere else. He'd still be making monopoly money. And so I think in his mind, it could be what gives me the best chance to win. And I think I know he likes it in Los Angeles. But after a certain point, are you also saying, look, it's just not going to happen here. And if I want to win a ring, I'm going to have to go someplace else because we have this roster that on paper looks really good. Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, J.J. Redick, and it hasn't gotten us anywhere, and I want to win a ring, and I just have to realize that maybe it's time to leave.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, we talk about what a blow Gordon Hayward leaving would be for the Jazz. I think it would be that and more so for the Clippers, because Chris Paul is the intersection of everything good or bad in this case that happens there. And I think keeping him, they can afford to lose anybody else more than they can afford to lose Chris Paul.
Dave and I were actually talking earlier, Scott, about the fact that, you know, really, if you look at it, the Clippers are a team that has done less with more than anybody else in the NBA. And if they do end up losing Chris Paul in free agency, the big question for me, because I kind of already think he was on the hot seat a little bit this season, is what happens to Doc Rivers?
That's very fair. I think he's already there. It's Doc, what have you done for us?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a terrific coach, but what have you done as a general manager? It hasn't gotten them really anywhere. They've had an occasional playoff win, advancing to another round, but it hasn't gotten them anywhere close to what the expected goals were, which were at least to be able to make long runs into the playoffs. The unique thing is that if you would have told any other general manager in the league that you're taking over a team and you are ending up with Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, J.J. Redick, and then some other, Jamal Crawford, and then some other pieces there that occasionally are going to give you a good 15 or 20 games and maybe help you win a playoff game along those lines, wouldn't everybody say, yeah, of course I'm taking that? You know, that gives me a chance to win a championship, obviously. Doesn't every GM say that?
Scott Howard.
So it's not like Doc has driven this thing off a cliff. He's done exactly the same thing that I think pretty much every general manager would have done, is you take that roster and you say, yeah, give me that for 82 games in a playoff series and start planning the parade.
Scott with us, Scott Howard Cooper with us right now at KHDK. You know, somebody on the text line just caught my eye. Phil Jackson has coached Michael Jordan. Phil Jackson has coached Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal. And while Phil Jackson has a lot of free time these days as an executive if he wanted to be, and, you know, Cleveland has an opening.
Oh.
And, you know. Maybe Phil moves over to Cleveland, takes over there.
Never.
Now he's got LeBron James. He completes the loop. I mean, really, it almost makes too much sense, Scott, except it's colossally stupid. No chance Phil sniffs Cleveland, right?
As always, Katie is correct.
And we will be having you on every week,
right,
Scott.
Exactly. Hey, in all seriousness, the website Sportando is reporting that Bogdan Bogdanovic will sign a 3-year, $30 million deal with the Kings. Let's put that aside and just say that we're probably all hearing the same things. It does sound like Bogdan will be coming over in one manner or the other and play for the Kings next year. And as Katie and I were talking about earlier, Scott, what was a hole on the team once upon a time, shooting guard, you now have a glut of shooting guards on that team if you're adding in Bogdanovic. With the cap space they have and with the roster currently constructive, how active do you see this Kings team being over the next couple of weeks?
I think that they're going to be involved in conversations, just like every team will, but I think they're probably at the stage of that you've done most of your major work for the offseason, and let's see what this thing looks like moving forward. That's not to say they don't make a deal, they don't make a signing, but I would be surprised if it was anything major. Maybe they get in as a third team in some trade that somebody else is trying to pull off, and there's going to be conversations on working on the bench in a couple different areas like that. But if Bogdanovic does come over, and you're right, we've all been hearing the same thing for a while, and it seemed more like a matter of what are the final numbers and what is the date that it's going to be announced. I don't think the fact that he's coming over is a huge development, because we all have thought the same thing. But Bogdanovic, De'Aaron Fox, Justin Jackson, Harry Giles, the continued development of Lavissier, Buddy Hield, of course, You're not giving up on Papagiannis because you don't do that after 1 year, especially with a big. I think you're probably at that point of let's get these guys coming together. And there's obviously a nucleus now. There's a foundation for the future. There's every reason to feel really encouraged about the direction. It's different from saying that, you know, these guys are in great shape because you got to wait till they get on the court. But certainly if you were to sit there on the end of June, beginning of July, and say, should the Kings be happy with where they're at compared to where they were before, the answer is absolutely. And so I think the priority now is just to mess around with the edges, to tinker a little bit with the roster. And I would be surprised. Are you getting a different sense that there's still some big moves coming? Because I think that Fox, Jackson, Giles, Bogdanovich, I think those are the big moves.
No, and I agree. What we've been kind of covering is this crossroads that the team is at. You know, they're actually looking like they're paying attention to the rebuild and truly have invested themselves in the rebuild process. So here they are with nine guys. You know, they're going to have, if Frank Mason makes a team, five rookies next year. Not to mention the three from the previous year. That's eight, nine rookie contracts. So the question here is with the cap space, Scott, I'm more likely to be inclined that if they are active, it's to work with Daryl Morey in Houston, to work with Boston or Cleveland or the Clippers, some team that needs to stash salary for future assets. If you're asking me, that's what my read would be them likely to be active with.
Exactly, and that's why I mentioned that maybe they're the third team in when two other teams are trying to do a bigger deal, whether it's clearing cap space or whether it's part of a three-team trade for that deal itself. So they do have those options, and those are all really positive. And I'm glad you mentioned Frank Mason because I don't know how much time he'll get with Sacramento. I think he has a chance, but there's no question he's going to be on the roster, maybe spending time in Reno. But I'm glad you mentioned him because he should be in that conversation as well as somebody that's got a future.
Always fantastic information from Scott Howard Cooper. It is the silly season. That's how we started the interview, and we will be leaning on you quite a bit over the next few weeks to make sense of everything. We always appreciate your time, Scoop.
Have a great day.
All right,
thanks, Scott.
Scott Howard Cooper, who I still owe a hamburger to.
And he's so right about me being right.
Oh, gee, that's what you held on. You get a T-shirt.
That's what
that
I got
that.
Out of that whole entire interview. That's what I took.
We will take a break.
I want to clarify one thing.
Yeah, please.
We keep talking about there would be eight rookies next year. Technically, there would be
nine.
There's nine like young guys.
Nine young guys still would be five rookies
on the rookie contract. Yeah, because Buddy, Papa, Scal, and Malachi from this year, the rookies from this year, because you know loop in Buddy.
Year.
Yeah, so there will be nine guys that are still on their rookie pay scale.
Now you're confusing me.
You got Buddy, Papa, Scal, and Malachi from last
That's
year
four.
Rookies, and then you've got De'Aaron, Justin, Harry, Frank, who would and then you add in Bogdan. Well, he's not technically on the rookie
scale.
but that's where it gets weird.
You're
in terms of rookie scale.
This is not clarifying.
Yeah, but five rookies, only four technically on the rookie scale. That's where it gets,
No, five rookies, four of those on the rookie scale added to the four of the previous year. That's eight.
Eight
and you're forgetting Willie Cauley-Stein, who is nine.
Oh, is he still on the rookie pay scale?
Yep.
Yes. Gosh, look at that.
We will take a break. Thank you for clearing that up.
It is confusing. Yeah.
Don't dip your foot in the lava if you don't want to get burned when you're trying to talk about the Kings
cap
situation.
I'm okay getting burned. I just want to make sure I got it straight so that our listeners have it straight too. If I'm struggling with it, there's no way I'm the only one.
Like Scott Howard Cooper said, you are never right. We will take a break. When we get back. That's what I tip from the interview. Garrett Temple will join us next. We'll set that up, and then we got a ton of stuff from this show to get to after him. It is a packed final hour on the drive. Don't go away. Sports 1140 KHDK.